Sopranos podcast. I almost forgot the intro there.
Doing this for years now, Spells.
We've been doing this for years.
New brain.
That's right. As always, I'm Joe Spellman, and this is
Johnny Slade.
And this is
Mr. Samantha.
And we're going to be talking regrettably about Meet the Mobsters, Fiore tour de force
vehicle.
Where he shows.
Yeah, so we're going to be doing these episodes from time to time. It's like a little palate cleanser.
We're between seasons right now. We just ended season 3.
Yes.
Have yet to begin season 4. These little palate cleansers. We're looking at movies that perhaps cross over into Soprano fan territory. This one we chose called Meet the Mobsters, released in 2005. Little indie film starring a lot of, well, not starring. There's some cameos by a lot of fucking Sopranos people.
They had a dinner. And they were like, oh, we'll sneak in most of these people. Sharippa couldn't even stay for the entire meal. He was like, I'll be here for half an hour.
Yeah. He definitely had to go back to film The Sopranos. He was like, I don't know. How do we want to go about talking about this fucking movie, guys? I don't even know.
I don't know.
Like,
I'll wrap up the episode right now. I'm done. I mean, I think we can just close the books on this.
I mean, that's about all we could say about Meet the Mobsters.
We give it 2 bowls of ziti.
2 pieces of ziti.
Whatever we want to start talking about. I mean, I think we should just let it rip.
Well, let me do like a little rundown at the top. So this
really,
is about,
really, yeah. You're gonna?
Well, because people have no context.
We should.
There's
no context.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like people
That's
know what
fair.
The fuck we're talking
That's
about.
Fair.
Meet the Mobsters. That wasn't even the original title. The original title was Johnny Slade's Greatest Hits, and they changed it. Yeah. I'm assuming
clearly
because
some investor was like, you know what's big? It was probably exactly how the Cleaver pitches were going. Like, it's like, you know what's big? Meet the parents.
Yeah.
Meet the Fockers.
Like, the box, Meet the Fockers. Like that, like the poster for it, which is not the original poster for it, for the DVD, it's the same font as like the Meet the Parents, movies, and clearly trying to trick someone. You know how like you would go to the movie store and you'd get tricked.
Yeah.
You get tricked into like my friends and I once watched a movie called The Stoned Age because on the box it had a review from like Owen Klein from like movies.org, and it was like even better than Dazed and Confused, and we were like, oh, we love Dazed and Confused, so we watched it. We were like, that was not better than Dazed and Confused. So clearly they're like trying to trick people
in the video store. Market this into people's it's just a cheap trick. And then also, but there's multiple posters because there's one that's like super serious that looks like the Goodfellas poster where it's like so the people who from Sopranos who are in this, John Fiore, of course, who played Gigi Sestone, dies on the toilet in season 3. Yep.
Dies on the toilet, then does this movie.
Then does this movie because he's like, fuck, what am I gonna do now? I guess I have some friends I could help raise some money for this. He plays the titular character Johnny Slade, a kind of a down and out lounge singer, I guess. Vincent Curatola, Johnny Sack, plays like his nemesis, or I guess they end up becoming friends. So his code name is Mr. Samantha. I don't know what the fuck that's about. Joe Ganiscoli plays Vito Spadafore, plays one of the guys. So the movie opens with like most of these Sopranos characters who didn't want to actually like be characters in the movie and were like, I'll go have a dinner and shoot for a few hours. Yeah. It's like in a restaurant, they're gathered around a table and he's telling the story of Johnny Slade.
There's like 50 bottles of wine on the table. They're like, all right, You get enough Rufino for me, I'll come for 2 hours.
They're hammered. So, but it doesn't make sense because Joe Ganascoli is like one of those guys who's like, you never heard of Johnny Slade, and starts like telling the story. But then he appears in the story as a different character named Abner Honeycutt.
Wow. They're really trying to make him like a homosexual.
Yeah. Whoa.
No, they were though.
Yeah, you got something against the name Abner?
They were.
No,
like,
the guy, the
like,
performance
do you,
was
do
like,
you like lingonberries? I could cook for you. It's like,
he's like,
oh, this, see, he only plays characters that like seduce men by cooking for them.
He was trying, they were trying to make him like look like he's like a fan. He's like a fan of Johnny Slade, but then he's like little too more of a fan, and they gave him like this weird haircut. And he was definitely putting on an affectation. Like, it just seemed
right. It's like, I'll be a gay guy and that'll be the joke.
Yeah. You guys remember how I was, I'm gay on The Sopranos.
Right. Yeah. But still doesn't explain why he's like at the table. I mean, I guess
it doesn't.
Hey, maybe that's like a little Gino Vito reference where he plays two characters.
Maybe they needed a gay guy.
That's gotta be it.
And the old,
I feel like the guy bailed and Ganascoli was like, I'll fucking
no.
Do
I think
it.
The
yeah, more screen
I think
time.
The only guy they know who,
extra day of work.
I think the only guy they know who knows how to play gay guys is Joe Ganascoli.
Yeah,
but he's done it
I
before.
I mean, Vinny Pastore
wasn't going to
do that.
Yeah, Vinny Pastore wasn't going to do anything in this movie but sit at a table and eat food.
Yeah,
you like couldn't get the lines. Guy who played Richie Aprile Jr. I mean, sorry, Rich.
I know.
Rick. We get him.
Rick.
It's Rick.
No, he was not available that day, I guess. That evening.
Yes.
Maybe a full day. Yes. Then we got Georgie from Sopranos, Frank Santarelli, playing a little bit of a different turn. He's not like the big pussy.
Yeah.
Or I shouldn't say big pussy. He's not like the guy who gets like his ass handed to him all the time.
Yeah, he's got a range. Like a you know, ass. You don't know a lot about Georgie. He's got a range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got Richard Portnow.
Mm-hmm.
Junior's lawyer. Melvoin. And then did you guys recognize, there's two other guys who I didn't immediately recognize sitting at the table in the beginning of this. One of them, I don't know who the fuck he is, but the other one, did you guys recognize him?
Hey, I hate to keep talking about Ghost Dog, the Way of the Samurai, but that one guy is from Ghost Dog. The guy's like, what? I never heard of this guy, Johnny Slade.
Yeah. Oh, there's that guy. Okay. The guy with like
the guy like sounds, this. Yeah. It sounds like he's fucking going to die any minute. It's like, what? What happened to Frank?
Who is that guy?
Who's this guy, Johnny Slade? What are you talking about?
He's in a lot of stuff, right?
One of these fucking guys. Yeah, yeah.
I recognize his voice.
New York like character.
Yeah, I feel like he's in a lot of.
Always plays Goombas.
Yeah, he's in a lot of Italian.
If that guy didn't die of emphysema or like throat cancer, like I would be. What? Because what? How does one's voice come to that? It's in tatters.
That's not
tatters.
Not healthy. Wait, so who are the other two guys?
So that one, there's one guy who's on the right, the other, you know, silver-haired guy. I didn't recognize him, but apparently he was in like a bunch of other mobs.
Oh, yeah, I didn't recognize him either.
And then the guy on the left was a little guy named Tony Ray Rossi, a.k.a. Fabian Petrullio, Frederick Peters from a little episode called College. Hello, rat.
I didn't recognize him without the glasses.
Yeah, I did for a split second. I was like, I know who that guy is. I think it's him. He also had like longer hair, but whatever. He had like two lines.
Who does he play?
He's just one of the guys sitting at the tables. He's like sitting on the left telling the story.
It's the guy to the left.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
And of course. And,
by the way,
and
everyone, if you want to like go watch it before you listen to this episode, I don't know why you would. Maybe you would. It's up for free on YouTube.
Yeah,
courtesy of, John
Fiore. Of John Fiore's YouTube account.
Stop.
So, thank
just
you, John
just
Fiore.
North of 2,000 views. I mean, it was only uploaded in September last year. So.
Oh, wow. Well, he's like,
you can also,
I got to get this out. I got to get
this out
to people.
I mean, we have some older listeners. Like, perhaps you still subscribe to the Mailaway Netflix. You can get it from the Mailaway Netflix, apparently.
Oh, my God.
It is on DVD.
Only get you have to mail in to get it.
You have to get it on DVD. So,
and you have to write a personal handwritten letter to John Fiore. I looked it up on IMDb. You guys want to? Did you guys see what its rating was out of 10.
It's like 6, right?
Yeah,
I think I saw
6.1 or something.
6.1, respectable.
Pretty respectable. you know what? I posted on our Twitter that we were going to be covering this last week, and one of our listeners was like, "I couldn't even get through the fucking trailer. Holy shit, that sucks." And I tagged Jogan and Scully in it. So like he responded, "Actually, it has a cult following."
I mean, maybe it does. Like, what?
I'm sure
what
it does.
Among its cast members.
Yeah, the Heaven's Gate cult watched it and then killed them.
Yeah. Inspired.
I'm certain
mass,
he's the only
casualty events.
I'm certain he's the only one besides John Fiore who's even watched it that was in the movie.
I fell asleep last night watching it for 20 minutes and woke up to see him playing a second character. And I was like, what the fuck? And then it just turned it off. And then I tried to even watch the rest of it. Like, and I did kind of today.
Bro. You missed the fucking exciting ending, dude.
I don't even know what happened at the ending. Dude. Like, now they're like partners.
I didn't understand it, and I watched it twice. I mean, the first
you
time
watched
I watched
the movie
it,
twice.
Well, so I watched it all stoned first time, and I was like, "This isn't as bad as I thought it was." I was like, "I should watch it again." And then I watched it at like 3x speed on YouTube, so I watched it in like 45 minutes. But I still didn't understand what the fuck the ending was. So basically the main premise is Johnny Slade starts, he's a lounge singer who gets hired by Vincent Curatola to like go, like he sings songs that Vince Curatola writes that are secret messages to like his like henchmen to like who to go kill.
Right.
I mean, which, you know, in the right hands is a fine springboard for a mob movie. Like this could have been like an okay sort of comedy.
I watched this with my wife and she was like, that's not the worst idea. It's like more creative than it should be in a movie like this.
Right. I will say, I thought this was going to be like, I would have preferred it to be much, much worse. Like I wanted something god awful because then it's just more fun to talk about. But this was bad, but you know, not as like I was hoping, you know, there's a scene in this and I've seen it in like memes before and shit with Vincent Curatola with like the wig
and the mustache and the disguise.
And I was like, bad. What the fuck is that from?
He was still on the show.
Kind of funny in this. Yeah, I know.
The fuck?
I gotta say, like I did laugh a couple times and even on my rewatch when I was not,
he was doing his absolute best to act his way through this fucking movie. Like I have to give that to him. It's not easy to fucking look good in a movie like this. And he clearly like cared enough to like not phone it in. Like,
he's got some comedic
actually.
Chops.
Yeah. And he was like, not bad. He was not bad.
They are lines that would have definitely been like bad jokes if he wasn't so masterful at delivery, you know? I'll tell you, did you guys laugh at all? Because I'll tell you the one part that I laughed.
No, I didn't.
the one part I laughed was they like cut back to where he got the idea to like have Johnny Slade like sing the songs and give the messages. Oh, yeah. And he's watching 39 Steps, the Hitchcock movie. And like the woman character, you know, paper thin character, not a real character, but anyway, she comes in and he's like, it's Hitchcock, this is his British period, you fucking twat. And I was like, whoa, like there was no language like that like anywhere else before that. And I was like, that's holy shit, weird moments.
I was caught off guard when they cut to that part, because I was sure that the only way they got Curatola to do this was that he's like, I'll only do this one location in this fucking closet.
I guarantee you that room was the
next
room.
They shot him. Yeah, I was like, they. I bet this is like the closet, like at the restaurant where the guys are. Right. And they just had dinner afterwards. And he was like, I'll do this, but you got to shoot out all my shit in like 3 hours.
I'm sure he had max 2 days.
But then they... But then they jumped to that scene with him and the woman, and like I was like, oh my god, it's like a fucking another place. Like this is, it was like jarring. I was like, yeah. Oh wow.
And then the part like, that really, made me laugh. He's really in this. We should post it to our socials because I think without any context, it's kind of funny. But he goes, hold on, I'm having a fucking epiphany. Did you guys see that part?
Yeah.
It's fucking really funny. I don't know. You guys gotta see it. It's Vincent Caratola screaming that he has an epiphany about.
I think actually you guys love this fucking movie.
No, maybe we gotta fucking talk about something. So I'm giving it credit. No,
I'll talk about
credit where it's due.
I'm sorry. I don't think John Fiore is a good comedic actor.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I think he's a good actor.
I think his comedic timing is really not good.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's basically all it is. I mean, no, I think he's a good actor.
He's a good actor
in The Sopranos, and he's just not. And the writing of this is not great either. But like, he's just not. He's like being a cartoon. He's being like Bugs Bunny in this fucking in this fucking thing. And I mean, that's
especially
fine
the scene where like,
but that's I don't think that's what he wanted.
Especially the scene where like he's first meeting Vincent Caratola, he's so over the top.
Yeah, he's over the top a lot of times.
Yeah,
the whole thing. Yeah, I mean they all are.
Well, what's good is that Vincent Caratola is actually good because he's just like playing it like real, like he's playing it like Johnny Sack, like he's just
until he shows up in a wig and mustache.
Well, that he can't help.
Yeah.
Oh no, the writing for him is bad because he's just like, all of a sudden he like doesn't care about getting like killed or like found out by the feds because he just wants to hear his song. It's like okay.
I was really trying to find anything online to figure out how this writer director was able to get all these fucking people to do this.
Cause I think it was just because he had no connection to,
he was like some dude from fucking Massachusetts. Like he had no connection to these people. Obviously John Fiore is the main, like he's the star. He got brought on as a producer and all that shit. But like, I want to know like the story about like how the wheels were put in motion. Cause like fucking money was spent on this movie. I mean,
here's my theory. I think they set up some cameras in the trailers of all the Sopranos stars and they caught some shit that they didn't want getting out. No, but I think probably like he had a connect. Maybe they knew each other, the writer director and John Fiore before they've started this. Maybe John Fiore even went to him and was like, hey, I got an idea for something that can for a John Fiore vehicle. Like let's do this like lounge singer movie. You write it, direct it, I'll star in it.
I was looking for like what, cause I was like, this would be so funny if this was the first fucking thing John Fiore did after dying on the shitter in Sopranos. And it was close. He did a short called Leo Las Vegas or something where he played a lounge singer.
Oh fuck.
So I'm like, so maybe he did that fucking thing and this guy Larry Blamire saw it and he was like, I got a great idea. We're gonna bring you guys out to Massachusetts and we're gonna shoot a feature film of you as a guy like this. And he was like,
was he gonna say no?
Yeah.
I'm gonna say no.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably close to how it all came together. But I mean, it's a finished product, not. I don't know.
You know what this? You know what this?
You might
movie,
listen to this, guys.
Like, this movie seemed. Look, it's on YouTube. It's like an hour and 20 minutes. Just fucking watch it. Like, it's worth watching. Like, who cares? Yeah. Like, what else are you doing? We're still stuck in home.
I mean, get
but
high.
You know what? You'll enjoy it at least a little bit.
Get
high. Have a cocktail. But you know what this movie reminds me of is like when a character in a movie is an actor, like in the movie, and we see some of their work. Like, we see clips of a fake movie that they're supposed to be in. That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, off the jump, like the opening credits with all like the fake albums of his, like I was like, this is, we're in for a shitty ride here.
My wife laughed at the Beatles joke, like when he
the white
gets
album.
The white album
it's
joke.
Not that, like, it's not terrible.
She laughed at that, and I really lost a lot of respect for her. So this is actually ruining my marriage.
It's a lot of clunkers. That's not the worst of the bunch, I gotta say.
Can you tell me? So this was the last movie that the woman who plays the manager.
I thought you
said
John Fiore did.
It should have been perhaps, but want to guess what she does for a living now?
Oh, the woman, the love interest?
The woman who played like Charlie, the love interest.
Yeah. What is she?
Can I guess on a scale from 1 to 10 how estate. Sad it's going to make me?
Real estate.
It's not sad. Huh. Close.
What?
She owns 2 golf stores in Oneonta and Peekskill.
How the fuck you fucking...
2 golf shops.
I feel like she probably owned those golf shops before, and they were like, actually, I was getting a fucking driver in Oneonta, and the woman who owns the place, kind of hot. I mean, maybe
she's kind of a piece.
Kind of trying to get this Oneonta golf lady. What's the name of the store?
I wish her business well.
Shout out the store.
It's called Over Perfect Lies Golf.
Yeah, never mind.
Oh, damn.
What?
That's not good.
Oh, sorry. Perfect Lies.
Oh.
Perfect Lies Golf.
Okay.
All right. That sounds like you're ripping people off or something. Like, what? Don't put lies in the name of your
Look, guys,
business.
we're turning off sponsors here, man. She could have thrown some
That's
money our way.
That's true. We don't even have an ad read this week, so we really couldn't use the.
They were like, if you're not talking about an episode, you're not getting any ad revenue.
Right.
I do know that. I don't know if it was before or after that or after this, but John Fiore. I remember when I was in college. I don't know if I bought it or like downloaded it illegally, but it was like the unauthorized Sopranos tour. And it's like just him going around like locations of this must be before the actual Sopranos tour, like which is a thing that is still around to this day.
Isn't
like,
that on Amazon?
Is it? Oh yeah. I think we talked about this.
I think it is.
I think there's another.
Yeah, it looks like it was shot on like a mini DV. It's so shitty.
Well, next episode of one of these one-offs, we'll do that. We'll just trash on that.
That's
trashing on John Fiore's post-Sopranos work.
That's kind of funny, that one, actually. I think some comedian in LA, some other person found it. And we like posted on Twitter like years ago. And then that's where I've seen it on Amazon, I feel. It's like an unauthorized documentary, right?
Yeah, he's like narrating it.
Yeah, but it looks
he
shot
shows
on
up
Super 8 camera,
like
right?
Yeah. It's like his son holding a Nokia phone or some shit. But he's like in character in it too. Yeah. He's not as Gigi, but just as like a slime ball like guinea.
Who is the guy who hosted like E True Hollywood Story? Like he like it's like kind of like supposed to like that AJ Benza.
This probably spends a little too long in satin dolls just like filming the strippers without their consent.
Where is John Fiore from?
That's a good question.
I don't know. We could you looking that up right now?
He's from Massachusetts.
Somerville. Massachusetts. So maybe he knew Larry Blamire.
Things are starting to pieces are coming together here.
I went to
a Massachusetts guinea.
I went to high school with someone with the last name Fiore, and she's like a crazy Trumper on Facebook now. So,
oh fuck,
she lived like
I wonder if Fiore's a Trumper.
Probably.
Nah.
Actually, I think I ducked in on his Twitter and he had like retweeted like Nancy Pelosi.
Good.
Yeah.
Great.
Not probably, man. I'm sorry that I'm shitting on you, John. He's
Yeah, come on.
He's going to listen to this, yeah, and he's going to be like, guys are... I need to pay a visit to Los Angeles, California. Fuck up these two Jews and this Hungarian Italian.
He's going to take a camera crew with him.
Yeah, and I'm going to document it. Hey, I'm here to kick this guy's ass. What is this for, John? YouTube.
Hey.
Yeah, coming to ZD Flicks. Write me. I'll send you a copy.
Oh, you weren't rolling? Hey, can we go back to one? I got to punch this guy again.
Oh, yeah. Who's that? Yeah, get Truffles in here. I'm sorry. Like, no one knows who Truffles is.
Can we talk about Truffles? Sick dog. It's Joey's dog.
Yeah, that's my dog. I'm Joey's dog. Staring at her. Oh, you got
how we doing
you
guys, on time here?
You guys see my shirt?
oh, you and now's a portion of the show.
Oh, hey. Was that a holiday gift?
Yeah.
Of course.
Very nice. He's got the Satrials Pork Store shirt. We should make some Sopranos podcast shirts.
Oh, we
will. We'll get that shit up on TeePublic.
Hey, if you're listening to this episode, you are definitely among the only people in the world who would maybe consider buying a Sopranos podcast.
If you made it this far in our review of Meet the Mobsters, you may be interested in a little Sopranos merch.
Okay. I think we can make a ton of money off of it.
Yeah,
actually, we definitely can't.
We're gonna sell these tees. Well, maybe these tees. Maybe we'll get $70.
Maybe we'll get
pop.
This up for you guys.
Yeah.
So watch this movie if you have time to kill.
If you need to, if
Joe's
you
shaking
have,
his
if
head.
You have trouble falling asleep, then yes, watch this movie.
We'll do a little deep dive for the next Sopranos home movies, and we'll find something that's a little more entertainingly.
Yeah,
horrible.
And if anybody has any recommendations, please.
Yeah. Please let us know. I think the prerequisite is that it's got to have at least like two or three Sopranos cast members in it.
Right.
It's got to can't just be like The Matrix. Okay. It's got to
the Mexican or something.
With yeah. Right, right.
Like preferably bad. Like don't do like Trees Lounge or like do.
Yeah.
Something.
Don't do
like,
Trees Lounge. Or what was the one with Imperioli and Artie?
John Ventimiglia. I know what you're talking about.
Where the roles are reversed and he like gets out of prison.
Yeah.
Great movie.
Yeah.
I forget the name of that movie. Yeah. Can't be good. Don't send us fucking
bad,
good shit.
Yeah.
We want the bad shit.
We want all the shit where like all the Sopranos cast play guys like Vinny and Vic and Tony.
Vicney.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
So, but I think a selling point on these little interstitial eps is that we keep them short. We've been running for about 28 minutes, so I think unless you guys have something you want to talk about,
our work here is done. We'll be getting back to the show that you love and you actually listen to this podcast for. We'll be jumping into season 4 next week. Season 4, episode 1.
For all that's public and private.
For all that's public and private, we kick off a phenomenal season. Until then, hit us up at osopranospod@gmail.com. Thoughts, concerns, shitty Sopranos movies that we need to watch. Give us a follow at osopranospod on Instagram and Twitter. And as always, give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That shit goes a long way.
We didn't earn it after this half hour. I don't know
come
that
on.
We ever have.
Yeah, you know what? If you don't want to watch this movie, look, we watched it for you, okay? You can look at it that way.
No, watch it. It's so good. It's great.
It's actually so good. This was all a bit. It's really good, okay? All right. Until next time. Oh!